So as a writer of orchestral and all sorts of great music, I know you had a great success with your violin concerto. Was it a different approach or something exciting to write a cello concerto?
Yes, yeah, it was a different approach. I mean, both the violin concerto and the cello concerto both were very hands-on in terms of the interaction with the soloists. Sarah Chang and Nina Kotova both have a very hands-on approach in terms of, you know, giving me feedback and kind of going over every detail of bowing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I feel like in both of those cases, the one thing in common is that they ultimately come very much from the instrument and from the soloists themselves. So that was a great process.
Oh, yeah. With these sorts of things, is it helped to have a sort of a program in mind, or is this purely orchestral work? Tell us a little bit about the piece and the mood.
Right. Well, this piece is a fairly serious piece. I wouldn't say dark, but kind of intense. And I suppose that the one thing that kind of underlies a lot of the concerti that I've written is that you have a sense of one person against something. And sometimes it's a psychological thing, and sometimes it's you feel like the orchestra is kind of, you know, doing kind of battle, if you will, with the soloist. And in this case, there are a couple of issues like that in the piece. They're not exactly programmatic, I would say, but more kind of psychological. So that the second movement, for example, is basically the cellist posing a question to the universe, if you will, and the not getting an answer. So it's that kind of thing that kind of dominates the musical form and the structure more than an actual programmatic approach, which might be more common in my other pieces.
Yeah. With different concerti and commissions that come around, I know a player might say, you know, Chrysler might have said, oh, you know, I want to make my sound very important, or, you know, I want to make my E string important or whatnot. Or, you know, Yo-Yo Ma might want to say that I want a sort of a world music outlook. Was there something that Nina, with your interaction, said, you know, I really have great F sharps way up high? Or, you know, did she say something or other that she wanted to come out with this piece?
Absolutely, yeah. She was very, I mean, the first thing she said was, she said, to the extent you can, keep most of it on the A or the C string, which are the two outer strings, the C string being the low string and the A string being the high string. And, you know, in fact, pointed me to a lot of repertory that she felt was particularly successful for a solo cello, and a lot of it had to do with that kind of writing on those two strings. And so a lot of it is kind of at either end of the range of the cello, and I think it gives it kind of particularly characteristic and rich kind of sound. So that was very much part of the writing, was that I was very much aware of that. And, you know, there are certain kind of patterns and things that occur in the music that she came back to me with kind of counter proposals, if you will, to the original patterns that I had written that she thought would be more idiomatic or kind of more brilliant sounding in a particular register, and you know, would basically give those to me. She has a composition background herself, so a lot of these comments were coming also kind of in a composer's way, which was really neat. I mean, she could actually write back to me in Sibelius, which is a music notation software, and give me kind of responses and thoughts about what I was sending her, which was kind of an interesting way of going about it.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, she's one of these, you know, model, cellist, composer, you know, all these sorts of things. It's got to be a fun person to work with. That's cool.
Yes.
The orchestration, is it a standard orchestra? Is there any, you know, Ophiclides or, you know, Anders Martineau or something or other that you were just dying to hear with the cello?
Just because you mentioned it, I'm going to add an Ophiclide. No, I didn't include anything like that. Harmonicas and things like that have crossed my mind, but it's a pretty standard, smallish kind of scale orchestra, double winds and kind of double brass, with you know, a pair of percussion and kind of a medium-sized string complement. So it's nothing too big. A lot of the, with the exception of the violin concerto that I did for Sarah Chang, a lot of the orchestra. Orchestras that I've been using have been slightly smaller, kind of almost chamber orchestras, and I found that to be kind of a good balance in scale for what I want to try to do with the soloist, you know.
Yeah.
So if you have a large Mahler-sized orchestra and you're doing a concerto, it can become pretty oppressive pretty quickly.
Yeah, man. Well, it's got to be cool. I know the Pittsburgh Symphony did such a great job with the fiddle concerto. It's got to be nice to know that this is going to be in the hands of Dallas Symphony.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I actually was born in Dallas, and so it feels in a weird way like coming home. Although I grew up in Houston, I go back there from time to time, and I have a very special feeling about the place. So it's going to be great and to work with the symphony again. And I've never worked with Jaap van Zweden, so I'm very anxious to kind of collaborate with him. I know he's a fantastic conductor.
I think last year everyone really embraced him. There was so much buzz, and I heard Stephen Stuckey's big oratorio there last year.
Yeah,
and,
that's right. Yeah, I read about that. That's terrific.
You know, and yeah, I think he's. I think it helps maybe that he was a player. You know, that he was a fiddle player and comes from that sort of thing. So I think embracing new music's one of his real wonderful traits.
Yes, and you know, the neat thing also is that they're doing the piece. This is the first of three sets of performances that are happening this fall. He's also conducting it in the Netherlands and in Singapore after that. So it's nice. I mean, his connection with these other orchestras is also a wonderful thing.
What's the ink drying on, or what's Sibelius saving these days?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to, the ink has been drying, fortunately, on a couple of projects. I'm getting ready to go into the opera world for about 4 years. I've got two separate operas coming up, one for San Francisco Opera and a second opera for Houston Grand Opera. I've done one for them in the past already, and this will be the project number two. So it will be nice. I'll be basically doing two projects for 4 years instead of, you know, four projects every year. So it'll be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we will get to see you in Houston no matter what. And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll try to get out to San Francisco.
That would be great. Well, that would be great to see you again, John.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks, Chris, for talking to us.
Sure, anytime.